How are you doing? If you can hear me loud and clear, give me a thumbs up. Give me a thumbs up if you can hear me loud and clear. Why am I not seeing my comments here? Last week I was seeing a box that it's fine. It wasn't distracting me. I liked it. But it's okay if you can see. If you can hear me and see me clearly, give me a thumbs up. Give me a thumbs up. Give me a thumbs up. Hi guys, I'll get me the thumbs up. You can hear me well. Guys, I need to know if you can hear me, so am I getting any response? So that means you guys did something different again today. Because last week I was seeing my responses. Okay, I'm seeing that comments are coming in. All right, guys, welcome to Mandate. Before we start, want to do a quick football trivia. Just one question, actually. Want to do many questions, but we won't have time to do that today. One quick question for my football lovers. You can see I'm wearing my Man City outfit. I've been a Man City fan for some years, and I've been to Etihad Stadium a few times. So I'm a solid fan, registered, and everything. All right. So quick trivia. And by the way, I'm enjoying this period where there are no matches. That's why we can do webinar like this. If there was football season now, putting this webinar on Sunday is risky. Okay, quickly, football trivia. What was the last match that was played in Premiership before they closed the lockdown? What was the last Premiership match that was played before the lockdown? And if you can put the scores, it'll be nice. Let's do quickly. I want to see the winners. Send me your answers quickly. The last Premiership match that was played before the lockdown. All right? If you can tell me the match, the scores. You might win something. You might win something. I will check. Are you seeing the answers? Quickly, quickly, quickly. Let me know. Let me know. Let me know. Let me know if it's somebody that gets the answer correct. Don't you hope you know the answer? We discussed it now. You didn't get the memo. And don't copy anybody's answer. Oh. Say your own mind. Who is the first to get it? Who is the first to get it? Last Premiership match that was played, possibly with the scores. Nobody has gotten Premiership match. What did the person say? First person, no. Okay. Less than Aston Villa. 4-0. Okay. Okay, the person that got it, the very first person is Kenny's 08, right? Am I correct? Kenny Akings, you are the winner. Kenny Akings, so send us a message. We'll let you know if you won any prize. We'll let you know if you won any prize. That's the first person. Leicester is my pet team. It's my second team in Premiership. I love them so. And thank God that this year they've cancelled Premiership, so Liverpool can't win. So it's from next year, we'll start from zero again. Okay, so let's get into the mandate, guys. Welcome to the mandate. What is the mandate? Mandate is simply just, a mentoring platform for guys, a mentoring platform for men. Women have loads and loads of conferences targeted towards how women develop and them being better wives, being better mothers, being better people. Women have loads and loads of conferences. And in fact, even government-wise and all that, there's a lot of emphasis on developing the girl child and all that. But you see, the problem with that is that if they keep building ladies and there are no men to, marry these ladies or interact with these ladies properly, so we raise the ladies to go and meet broken men. So we also need to do some things for men. We should not neglect the men. So guys need to constantly challenge each other. And that's what this is. I've been desiring to do this for many years, to mentor men for many, many years. And this idea has just came that we can start it online first. We can start it by platforms like this. So this is our first launch in our decision and mission to mentor men. It's called Mandate. That will be the name of this whole platform. And we'll be having it, as possible, maybe once a month or once in 2 months. I don't know yet. But depends on how this goes, and we'll continue to have it. So that we'll have forums where we can speak to each other as men and challenge each other. So welcome from all over the world, wherever you are. Welcome, welcome, welcome. In 1 minute, can you just type where you are watching from? Just quickly type where you are watching from. What city or location are you watching from? Quickly, let's do that. Just let me know. What city, location are you calling from? Guys, be letting me know as you get them. Tell me your city quickly. Where are you watching from? Ghana, I see you. Ghana, Chale. Chale from Ghana, I see you. Which other cities, guys? Which other cities? Let me know. Let me know what city you are watching from. Which other cities?
Cyprus,
I see you. Abuja, I see you.
Stratford, London,
that's my place. So Stratford, my place, man. Stratford is my place in London. Italy, I see you. Manchester, how are you doing? Manchester, I see you. Houston, Texas, that's another my city. Estonia, I see you. Toronto, Canada. Cameroon, I see you. Qatar, I see you. Germany, yep. New York City, Edmonton, I see you. South Africa, I see you. Finland, Germany, France, China, be careful. Zimbabwe, I see you.
Zambia.
Birmingham, Ukraine, Abu Dhabi. Germany, I see you.
India.
Sierra Leone, Greece. I see you guys. All right. Maiduguri. Chicago. Florida. Okay, I see you guys, man. Ohio. I have guys in Ohio. Finland. Joburg, I see you. Agbara State, are you a city?
Spain,
I see you. Scotland. Yola. Alberta, Canada, Moscow,
Madrid.
All right. So basically, thank you guys for coming in. Let's see how we proceed. And I know some women sneaked in. I can see you. I'm seeing you, women. I know some of you sneaked in. I can see you. But we forgive you. Okay. On the assignment, before I move forward, can you mention for me one man that inspires you? Mention for me one man that inspires you. Quickly. One man that inspires you. Just mention any name. It doesn't have somebody you have ever met. Just somebody you know that was a great man or is a great man. You know, for me, any day, any time, Martin Luther King definitely inspires me. Mandela definitely for me. Those two definitely for me. You know, so quickly tell me. Other people you feel inspires you, strong men you admire, men that in an exemplary life, you know, either that lived or is still alive, you know. Let me know. If the name's coming, guys, let me know. Do you have names?
Larry King,
okay.
Yeah.
That's the king of talk show. Miles Monroe, definitely. Oh. Mark Zuckerberg, Sam Adair, yeah. Bill Gates, definitely. Paul Enenche, wow, that's one. Tyler Perry, that one, eh? Genius, did he stop down? Joshua Selman, yes, friend of mine. Ah, Papa. Mr. Perico. T.D. Jakes. Barack Obama. Lakey Alda. Oh, Lapida. Warren Buffet. Bill Gates. Aliko Dangote. Pastor Chris. Pastor Kwaju, yeah. Les Brown. Yeah. Yeah. Albert Dwolle, definitely, that's my coach. Winston Churchill. Denzel Washington. Steve Forte. Good. Nia Boda, that's my friend. Steve Harvey. Okay. Arsene Wenger. Don't let that's not people here. But Arsene Wenger was good, actually. Arsene Wenger. Ola De Ferrassi, Papa De Boye, oh, yeah, Federa, Okay. I'll come back to why I said you should do that, but let's move on. Somebody said Buhari is well with you. He's a mentor. He has some points to his story, though. But that's not today's topic, you know. So basically, I said that this is a mandate and it's a mentoring platform for men, and it's something we want to have continuously as time goes on. The reason is because nobody's speaking to men. So, like I said, women have loads and loads of conferences that people are working on developing them, but nobody really pays attention, you know, to the men. And this is our attempt to start to do that. Women have been fighting me for years that we're always telling women what to do. Who is going to tell the men? Well, this is our attempt at doing that. And yes, as many men as we can reach, we're going to reach them. So we'll start today. Why the mandate? Why are we having this platform at all? Number one, men need other men. Men need other men. All right? We're looking at the reasons why we are having such a forum and a platform. It is because men need other men to call out greatness from within them. Men need other men to call out greatness from within them. Men need other men. All right, that's the first reason. Men need other men. You see, there's something about a man. A man learns differently from a woman. A man learns differently from a woman. Very important. Those of you that follow me with all my relationship teachings and all that, I always say that all the time. The way men were created is totally different from how women were created. I know a lot of people today try to argue that men and women are the same, and I wonder how they arrive at such thinking, because everything about men and women are different. They're both scripturally, scientifically, and statistically. Like I told you, those of you that were in the webinar, I said everything I teach must be based on one or all of these three platforms. It must either be scripturally correct, it might be scientifically tested, or it might be statistically proven. So it must be any of those three things, all right? So, and this one, the fact that men and women are different is even, it all three points, you know, confirm it, all right? Scripturally, the way man, God made man and the way God made woman was totally different. Men came from dust, women came from the reed. Scientifically, it's obvious, you know, everything about us, our physical structure, our emotions, our brains, we function differently and we're created differently. Then statistically, we know that men and women are different. So I'm saying this to just to buttress the point that, you see, women learn easier, you know, by just listening. A woman is generally a bit open to influence. Men are open to influence because they are naturally adaptable. So, you know, they learn from a whole lot of different places. But for men learn a lot by observing. So they need other male figures in their lives to actually show them, you know, how to be the best versions of themselves. So it's crucial that we have a platform like this where men can talk to men. Very, very important. So men need other men to actually inspire them, to get them to, you know, live their full lives. Men need other men. My journey wouldn't have been like this if I didn't have a lot of men in my life at different points that inspired me and called out the greatness in me. Towards the end, I'm going to share my story, how I was a bad boy, you know, smoking weed, carrying pistols. I'll give you the gist at the end of this webinar so that you guys know that I'm a man's man. I relate, you know, with whatever you might be facing, you know. So men need other men. That's number one. Number two, reason why we have this platform is that men have largely been lied to. Men have been lied to. It's so sad. Men have been lied to. So sad. Men have been lied to. Men have been lied to. Many men have been given a false idea and a false impression of what manhood is. Society has painted a picture to us, you know, of what being a man is. So many people, many guys are not bad people. They are just running with a false syllabus, with a false ideology of what being a man is. Man, I used to be like that. I used to be like that. Men have an idea in their mind of what makes them a man. That's why the topic of today is, you know, what it means to be a man. Because men have an ideology globally. This all men, Caucasian men, black men, Chinese men, Asian men, Indian men, they have a societally based truth of what they think being a man is. And we're going to examine some of those things today. All right? So the two reasons why we're having such a platform is that, number one, men need our men to inspire them. And number two, men have been lied to. So we need to, somebody needs to tell us again what it means to be actually a man. What it means to be a man. So let me start. The first thing I need to tell you today is that you don't have to become a man. You are already a man. If you're a man watching me here, or let me say it this way, if you're a male watching me here, you are already a man. You don't have to become a man. That is the first lie young people and young guys believe. They believe that I have to do something to earn manhood. You are already a man. You are already a man. You were made to be a man. You were made to be a man. You are already a man. So many guys, not even young, even old ones, believe that they have to do certain things to become a man. As a matter of fact, you know, the way we say it in Africa sometimes, when you get married, they'll say you become a man. When you have some money or something, they'll say, ah, now man you be. You know, people want to attribute different things, you know, to your manhood, to different things to qualify, you know, whether you're a man or not. But the first thing I want to tell you guys is that you're already a man. You were made to be a man. You need to know that. So you don't actually earn. You don't earn it, you learn it. What do I mean? You don't earn becoming a man because you're already a man. What you need to do actually is to learn how that you're a man already. You need to learn it. You don't earn it, you learn it. Very important. You don't earn it, you learn it. You don't earn it, you learn it. You are already a man. You're already a man. So don't let anybody put you under pressure to believe that you have to do something to become a man. That's what's happening to many people now. They think, oh, if I can have multiple sex partners, you know, amongst guys, this are things that goes on around guys. Like, hey man, how smooth are you with the ladies? You know, so this makes you become a man. Or if I have a lot of money, I have a lot of material possessions, if I drive a cool car, if I dress well, you know, this makes me a man. You know, if I can outdo other guys, you see, if I can outdo other guys, then I become a man. Listen, you are already a man. You're already a man. Because this is about what does it mean to be a man. You're already a man. And you became a man primarily by how God made you. So being a man actually is you learning. Like I said, you don't earn it, you learn it. You don't earn it, you learn it. It's like you learning that I'm already a man. Very important, guys. You will stop running a race against yourself when you learn that. You will stop running a race against other guys around you when you learn that. It's never about how many things you have and how many things you can do. It's first about you knowing that you are a created man. And what does it mean to be a man? A man is simply a mirror of his creator. You are a mirror of your creator. Guys, I'm trying to challenge you today to see who you really are. Let me tell you, one of the devil's biggest tricks is to tell you you are nobody. And one of God's biggest principle is to tell you you are somebody. It's interesting. Satan makes you see yourself less than you are, and that makes you drop. You know, that makes you drop. But the devil makes you think you're nobody, then you start behaving like nobody. So that's how it works. God tells you you are somebody, then you start acting like that person. Satan tells you you're nobody, then you start acting like nobody. That's why one of the devil's biggest tricks is to tell us that we're not created by a creator, that we just came out of nowhere. You know, believing that you came from nowhere means you can live anyhow and means you are going nowhere. But the day you understand that you were created, then you have to live by that person's principle and you're going to return to that person. That affects you. So you are a mirror of your creator. Men, you are a mirror of your creator. In fact, that's why in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, God said, he shall be called man because he was made, you know, in our image. In other words, God said, let's make man in our image, you know, and after our likeness. Let's make man in our image. Let's make man in our image. So that image is talking about that, you know, God is like seeing himself, you know, inside of you. God is like seeing himself, you know, inside of you. Let's make man in our image. All right? So you are like a mirror of your creator, guys. You're a mirror of your creator. That's why the best person to define you is God, not your friends, not the amount of money in your pocket, not your job. Most men deal with serious identity crisis. If you ask a man, who are you? He will say, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I'm a banker. That is not who you are. You are a creation of God. That is who you are. That's the only part of you that can never be removed. You know, your medical license can be seized. You know, you can lose your job. If you get your identity from your job, the day you lose your job, you lose your identity. And you now have what is called an identity crisis. That it happens to a lot of men. Once they lose their job, they believe they've lost themselves. You are not what you do. You are a mirror or an image of your creator. That is what you are. And that is permanent. That does not change. That does not change. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So you are simply a mirror of your creator. You are simply an image of the creator. And what is the creator, you know, looking and expecting of you? What is he looking for and expecting of you? You know, because if we already are men, so why does it seem? Why does it seem, you know, that real men are scarce? Why does it seem that real men are scarce? I mean, women say this all the time, and I believe most of us will agree, you know, that it seems that real men are scarce. Seems so. Why does it seem that real men are scarce? Two reasons. There are two reasons why. There are two reasons why. Why it seems real men are scarce. Number one, a lot of men have never had great upbringing. A lot of men have never had great upbringing. This is serious, guys. Men, listen, because this is part of what we're having. This is not just for us. This platform we are developing today, I'm trying to do today, is not just for us. It's for the next generation of men, so that we can provide for them what was not provided for us. Listen, guys, this is important. Why does it seem that real men are scarce? The reason is because most men have bad upbringing. Most men don't have positive example of manliness. Most men do not have it. Most men do not have it. In fact, some men are dealing with what they call daddy issues right now. There are men like that dealing with daddy issues. That means those men either had absentee fathers. That means a boy grew in a house where he didn't, you know, have a father figure that was there. Or he had one, but the guy was abusive. He had an abusive father figure. This thing looks small, but this is one of the biggest discoveries of my life. Knowing that there is so much impact from your parents' marriage into your life, especially your father. Women are usually available, and they're usually loving. Usually, okay? Not all the time, I know, but usually. But where there's a drastic impact when the man is not there, or when he's there, but he's abusive, that impact is so much. You know why? You know why? Because men learn from observation. So them not having a father present, a man having an absentee father when he's growing up affects him, or having a father that was abusive affects him more than you can imagine. So the first reason why it seems there's a scarcity of real men is, number one, bad upbringing and examples going on there. You know, I'll give you statistics of, you know, young men in prison and all that. I'll give you the statistics later. You know, so right now, because of those daddy issues, we have a lot of women in men's bodies. You understand? So they're like men that didn't have the real men experience. So it's just a man that grew up without seeing another man. And you see, men get a lot from seeing other men. This is scientifically proven. All right, this is scientifically proven. Men do better by observing, not just by hearing. They do better by observing. So when a man grows up and doesn't have a good male role model, he has to get what he's supposed to get from a man. He has to get it from a woman. So he'll get what the woman brings, but the woman has a unique thing she contributes. But the man also has a unique thing he contributes. I'll give you an example. Because some people, like I said, everything I tell you is either scriptural, scientific, or statistical. I don't just cook these things up, okay? I'll give you an example. Scientifically, they found out that women are generally more sympathetic. So if there's something going on in the house with kids, women are generally more sympathetic. That means a woman will generally feel whatever the child is facing. But a man is usually stern. A man doesn't care how you are feeling. She will just tell you that it's that balance, because that's how life is. In life, some people will never send you and some will send you. If you don't get the two, when you go out there in life and some people are stern or don't send you, it will shake you. It will shake you. It gives you a balance. Let me give you another example that science studies also showed, that when there's a child, a woman will likely speak in the language that the child can understand. Women are experts at that. So they will largely be able to communicate with them. Women can hear when babies are talking. Women can hear. They will just communicate to that child in a way the child will understand. Women are great at it. But they say the man is usually not that detailed and interested. So he will speak to that child like an adult. He will speak to that child in his own, that's in the man's own language. And that particular thing helps that boy or that child desire to learn, desire to grow. There's a ruggedity that comes from a father that a mother cannot bring. And there's a compassion that comes from a mother that a father cannot bring. They both bring two different things, and the two are necessary. Okay? Don't get me wrong. The two are necessary. No one is superior to the other. I'm just saying that when the father is not present, the boy is deprived. One of the, I've mentioned bad upbringing. One of the popular Barbie dolls in Nigeria, most of you know, we have some Barbie dolls. These are guys that behave like ladies. One of the popular ones shared his own story, so I'm just repeating the story he shared. I watched the video of him sharing the story, that his dad was not present. His dad had met more than one wife, so his dad was not that present in his life. So he lived more with his mother, and because of that, he began to learn more feminine things like makeup and hair and all that, because the mother was the only influence he had. And today he's a full-blown Barbie doll, a full one, so it didn't just happen. The point is that it didn't just happen. There was an absentee father. That's why that happened. Now this is his own story. So, it's his own story. I'm repeating. So you need to understand this, guys. So that's number one. Why is there scarcity of real men? Number one, bad upbringing examples. And we guys of this generation, we need to change that, guys. I need you to join me. Let's all change that, starting from our own homes, okay? Second reason why there's scarcity of bad men is because of false societal expectations. Societal expectations, all right? So society has their own expectation of men, that men must be this, men must be that. And that can be a problem when those expectations are not really, when those make sense. For instance, society expects that a man should not be soft and loving towards his wife. Society doesn't expect that. If I would call you something in my lingo called woman rapper, those of you that are abroad might not know that, but they call it woman rapper. It means you are the rapper of the woman. Okay, you are the whatever. You guys know what I'm saying, Abby. So society doesn't expect you to be soft. Society expects that if you listen to your wife, society will say, your wife is controlling you. So society has their own expectation that you shouldn't be soft, you shouldn't even listen to your wife, you should dominate your wife. The more you can dominate your wife, the more a man you are. Society has expected that if you can have money, no matter how you get it, as long as you have money, then you're a man. And these are very warped ways of thinking that we need to work at correcting. So we have many people that are stealing money, but they're being celebrated. Because this is what society says, that as long as he gets money, it doesn't matter how he gets it. Society thrives on if you have many girlfriends, if you can have side chicks, if you can marry more than one wife. These are things they respect you for. So society has their own expectations where your work is more important than your family. It's society expectations. Those two things making us have scarcity of real men, that I can't be soft, I can't listen to my wife, I can't please my wife, I can't be romantic. I can't sit at home with my family now that I'm married. They expect you to still come out and hang out till late. This is a truth that we need to correct. So I was saying that I'm wondering whether I should give you the statistics here. I should give it to you later. Maybe I'll give it to you when I get to family proper. In fact, I can give you here. Let me just give you here. So statistics show us that the absentee father or the abusive father, is a dangerous thing to children, especially to boys. The absentee father. That means a father that is not present in the lives of his children has so much impact. Let me give you some statistics. You know, and this is in America, okay? It says 63% of youth suicides, youths that commit suicide, 63% of them are from, you know, a family without a father. 63% of youths that commit suicide without a father. 90% of runaway youths, that youths that run and leave their homes. So this is bulk of people that are area boys, like in our own country, that are touts. You know, they ran away from home to go and pursue their own life, or prostitutes, a large portion of them. You know, I have friends that have worked with prostitutes. A large portion of them actually came from homes, but you notice that there was a dysfunction in the home, so they ran away, you know, or were given away any which way. So 90% of runaway youths is from a home where there is no father. Guys, I'm trying to help you see that you are so important. You are the stability of many homes. You are the stability of many children. It's from you they will get stability. So you can't afford to be absent. You can't afford to be abusive. It's important that you get it right. I'll come to that later. Let's move quickly. 85% of youths with behavioral disorders, youths that behave weirdly, behave badly, 85% of them are from those homes without fathers. 71% of high school dropouts, 71% of high school dropouts are without fathers. 70% of youths in prison without fathers. 75% of youths die into substance abuse, weed, cigarette, drugs, alcohol abuse. 75% of aggressive behavior from youths, aggressive behavior, and this aggressive behavior are largely rape. They say it's from homes where there is no father. So that most of those rapes are motivated by misguided or displaced anger because their fathers were not around. So most times when the father is not around or is abusive, it manifests in two ways: either misplaced aggression or unnecessary sentimentality. So the person is, you just see a man that is too sentimental, too touchy. You know, the baseline is that it doesn't just come out well. So what are some of the mistakes or some of the things we can start correcting? All right. What are some of the mistakes, you know, correcting common mistakes that men make? There are some common mistakes that men make. Correcting common mistakes that men make. And at this point, you know, I'm going to be speaking to you, and I hope that you will see those things and be able to work on it. Correcting common mistakes. So number one, listen, men, we have to start valuing purpose and not prosperity. Common mistake men make. So to correct it, this is the correction. We have to start to value purpose and not prosperity. Let's value purpose and not prosperity. Let's value purpose and not prosperity. Most men are just engineered. They're engineered to value money more than purpose. And I know this looks simple, but trust me, it is a profound thing that will change your journey here on the earth. Most men value money, value possessions than purpose. Because most people will respect you for the money you have, not necessarily for how much of purpose you are fulfilling. So most men fall into this trap of just trying to get money by all means. Most of the men we listed as men we admire. Check the list. Most of the men we listed, those men were not just trying to make money. That was not what they were living for. Those men were trying to contribute something to their society. And that's what purpose is. Purpose is simply your own contribution to mankind. That's what some people try to don't overcomplicate purpose. Purpose simply means your own contribution to mankind. Your contribution. So you should be more respected for your contribution, not for your possessions. In fact, Jesus himself said, a man's life doesn't consist of the things he possesses. And Jesus is the most powerful man on the earth. I hope you know that. We pray in his name. He's the most powerful man on the earth. And he said, a man's life doesn't consist of the things that he possesses. So that's one of the big mistakes men make. We are always into acquiring things. We are always into getting money. Most men just believe, if I can make money, then I've made it. No, you have not. Money is not what qualifies you. Purpose is why you are here. Very important, guys. If we want to correct why we have scarcity of real men, we have to bring men back to purpose and not just to prosperity. To purpose and not to possessions. To purpose and not to popularity. This is what men do. This is what most men focus on. The amount of money you have is what determines how much of a man you are. No, that is wrong. It's about your contribution. What is your contribution? Whose life are you going to touch while you're here? Whose life are you going to touch while you're here? Purpose. You must get there. Everyone will not be wealthy, but everyone can have a purpose. I'll say that again. Everyone will not be wealthy. Let's just get that fact clear. It's not everybody that will have a mansion. It's not everybody that will drive a sports car. But everybody has a purpose. Every human being has a purpose. There's something you can do to better the lives of people on the earth. That's why you are here. Until you find it, you will never find fulfillment. Many men have been told the lie that you will be fulfilled when you have money. That's why. But some men are walking and walking and walking. They don't even know why they're walking again. They are chasing money so much. They don't even know why they want the money again. So they are now in that rat race just to get money. Say, I want to get money. I say, when you get that, what will you do? I will now invest it and get more. I say, good. What will you now do after that? I will now invest it. My brother, you are going in circles. You will never get happiness or real fulfillment from just getting money. You need to know that. I'm not saying money is bad. Definitely, I need money. Oh, everybody needs money. I'm not saying money, but I'm saying that can be your greatest passion on the earth. That can be why you are living. It can be to make money. The moment that becomes why you are living, that you can kill for money. That you can throw away your family for money, which most men are doing. Most men participate too late in their family. By the time they want to participate, the family is gone. The family is gone. By the time they want to come and participate, the family is gone. Because from when they were young, everybody gave them the impression that being a man is tied to how much money and how successful you are. It's not about successful in the way the world looks at it. It's not about possessions. It's about contribution. What are you contributing? You need to know. Why am I having a webinar like this free? Why do I do all of the things that I do? Because it's never about money first. It's always about impact. It's about my contribution. See, you'll be a happier person. You'll be a better person. You'll be a greater person the moment you realize there is a higher purpose to your life than just getting money. Money is important, don't get me wrong, but that's not what makes you a man. Because you can steal money today and have money. There are many 419 popular people everywhere. Everybody's praising them, but they're crooks. Everybody knows they're criminals. But most men don't have a sense of identity. So anywhere they see money, they worship the place. We need to start focusing on purpose. We need to start telling young people, what is your contribution? If we have more people contributing in this country, Nigeria will be better. Or the world will be better. Your contribution is more important than money. Your purpose is more important, than prosperity. All right? Purpose, not prosperity. Very important. Very important. Purpose, not prosperity. I like this saying. It's your values, not your valuables, that determines your value. It's your values, talking about ideologies, not your valuables, that determines your value, your worth. Very important. It's your values, not your valuables, that determines your value. At the end of this journey, it's not your money that will make you happy. It is what you have contributed. At the end of the journey, you won't be remembered because of what you had. Guys, your children will remember you for what you had. Your generation will remember you for all the possessions you had. In fact, those things at that time will be old model. What they will remember you for is your contribution. All right? Very important. Very important. So first thing, let's start focusing on purpose, on contribution. What are you here to contribute? How can you make, you know, somebody's life better? And when we're talking about purpose, many people make the mistake to confuse it with popularity. No, some of you, your purpose will not be popular. Some of you, your purpose will be to serve another person. So it will be popular. In fact, the person might be popular and you won't be popular. But that is still your purpose and that is still very important. It mustn't be popular. It's not a popularity contest. Many young people today, they just want to be popular. They want to be recognized. They want to be known. That's not how it works, guys. It's not about popularity. You might never be known, but it doesn't reduce the impact or the importance of what you're doing. All right? Your purpose. Your job is not your purpose. There's a career and there's a calling. You must know they are different. Sometimes your job is your career is your calling, but it's not every time. So you must find out what your calling is. It's superior to your career. In your career, you can resign or retire. In your calling is something, is your life's work. You keep doing it till you die. It becomes your contribution to mankind. It's a purpose why you are doing something. All right? I don't want to waste too much time there. Number two, the mistakes we have to start correcting. I've mentioned the first one. We need to focus on purpose and not prosperity. Too many money mongers. Everything is money, money, money. You know, it's money that determines what they do, where they go. When you live like that, you live as a servant of money. You need to live for purpose. Let purpose determine where you go. Let purpose determine what you do, not just money. Number two, we need to start focusing on family and not fame. For men, we need to focus on family and not fame. Number one, we need to focus on purpose and not prosperity. Number two, we need to focus on family and not fame. Family and not fame. This one is very important. It's amazing that young people are still focusing on, you know, popularity, still focusing on, you know, what is the societally, acceptable behavior for a man. Listen. Family will not naturally come, you know, to a man most times, you know, as much as it should. But I'm telling you that it is more important than being celebrated and accepted by guys. It's amazing how much men still suffer from peer pressure. It's amazing. Even grown men. So you are drinking somewhere with guys and it's getting late and you can't tell them you want to see your kids before they sleep. Instead, you want to be popular with the guys and abandon your family. Your wife is calling you and the guys are saying, why is your wife calling you? Do you answer to her? And because of that, you're not picking your phone or you're telling her it doesn't matter where. Many men are living for popularity contests. We need to start valuing family more than fame. Do you know what? And I used to be a bad guy, so you know I understand where guys are coming from. Many guys are drinking and smoking today because it's made them popular. It's about bragging. It's about how bad you are. You want to be accepted among the guys. You want to show how bad you are. Men are very interested. Because in the men's world, you rise in rank by how bad you are. In the women's world, you rise in rank by how good you are. But men, it's about bad. How bad, oh. Your wife can't talk to you. Your children can't talk. When you enter, you are the lion of the tribe of flat eights. When you enter, you are the liquid metal. Those are the kind of things that you want to do. You know, stop being a terrorist, basically. Let's focus on family above them. Stop trying to be popular. Stop having bragging rights among your friends that you can drink. Those are the things that men contest about. I used to be there. I know how guys think. A lot of things guys do. It's about how to outdo the other guy. That's what their business. So we need to start focusing on family and not on fame. Stop suffering from peer pressure. All right. Stop suffering. Look, as a man, you have to leave a legacy. All right. Stop trying to be popular. You know, you have to leave a legacy. And leaving a legacy, most people don't understand. Leaving a legacy is not about you starting a business. Because when you tell men leave a legacy, what they are thinking is that I have to leave a business that my children will run. No, that's not what leaving a legacy is about. No. A legacy is not about leaving a business. These are are the wrong thinking that young people have. It's not everybody that will start a business or a church or a ministry or an organization. It's not even possible. When you see companies like Apple, Samsung, I mean, everybody there could actually start their own business, but they have to be a part of something great. Their names might never be known. So leaving a legacy is not about you starting your own business. A lot of young people, I see them run into that mistake. I'm getting old and I must start my own thing. No. Now, some people need to start their own thing because that is their purpose, but not everybody. There are many people starting things that have no business starting churches or starting businesses or starting organizations because they were supposed to serve in an already existing organization or serve in an already existing church or serve in an already existing ministry or whatever. But they believe that leaving a legacy means I'm leaving a business for my kids. That is not what leaving a legacy is about. That's not what leaving a legacy is about. Interestingly, I'll come to that. Let me just tell you. I'm starting with that today first. I should flow. See, you as the man, you leaving a legacy. You need to understand. You as the man, you are the head. You are the initiator of that family. You know, we're talking about family over fame. You are the initiator of that family. This is part of why you are the head. In fact, one of the main reasons why you are the head. When the Bible says the man should be the head, it's not because the man is smarter than the woman. Never. Anybody that knows will know that a woman thinks faster than a man. Most men are even smarter, better managers, better business people, whatever. We know that. So when the Bible is saying the man is the head, part of why they are saying so is because a man is the initiator of the family. Hey, I need to get this. As a man, remember I told you at the beginning, you are made in the image of God. You are a mirror of your creator. So what happens is that as a man, you are the initiator of a new family. You already existed in one family. Then you will get to a stage. The Bible says you will leave your father and your mother. You say this in Genesis chapter 2. You will leave your father. I think chapter 2 ended. So you will leave your father and your mother and you will cleave to your wife. Listen, they say you as the man, one day, you will leave your already existing family that you belong to as a child. You will leave your father and your mother, and you will cleave to your wife. What are they saying? They are saying you are leaving where you existed before to go and launch and start a new family. You are starting a family. You need to understand, marriage is not about you having somebody to have sex with. Marriage is not about you just getting married for sight to clap for you. No, what you are doing by getting married is by starting a family. This is serious. That's why you are the head. You are the initiator. That's why it's a man that goes to meet a woman that want to marry you. It's a man that goes to pay bride price to the woman's parents. It's not anyhow we like. It's not whoever values who more. It's the man that goes, because the man is the initiator. The man is the one starting this new. There is a family now called the King's Tokun family. Without me, that family can't exist. That family would never have existed. Do you understand? Before that time, I belonged to a family called the Rolando Kwonkwa family. As a son, I'm the last born. Everything was fine there. One day, I saw one fine girl. She confused me. I leave my existing family and told my parents that I'm about to go and start another clan. Another clan called the Kingslow Kwonkwa clan. That is why I'm the head. I'm the initiator. And head doesn't mean authority. Doesn't mean supreme authority. Head doesn't mean I can dominate everybody. That's not what head means. Head just means the initiator, the founder. It doesn't mean you're going to be smarter. It doesn't mean you're the best person. Some countries have founders. Some businesses have founders. Coca-Cola wouldn't have existed except one person went to start it. Apple wouldn't have existed. He was probably working somewhere. You know, they work somewhere and they now leave and go and start something. So that's how this is. You are a mirror of God. So what happened is this. Let me explain to you guys so that you understand what legacy is. Legacy is not going to start a company. That's not what legacy is. Leaving a legacy is that you're like a progenitor. That's why a man is the one that carries the seed. You carry seed inside you. A woman carries the womb. A man carries the seed, you see. Without the seed, we don't even need the womb yet. There must be a womb. There must be a seed to put in the womb. The womb can't do anything until it's activated by the seed. The man is the one that carries the seed. Science also says it, that it's a man that basically determines the sex of the child because he's the one that drops the seed. So, as the head, you initiate that family. You leave your father and mother and go and cleave to your wife. Now, this doesn't mean that the wife won't leave her father and mother. They're trying to show you something. That is the man that initiates this whole new family that is about to start. So this family, so let me say this way. Now that I'm going to start a new family, the question is, what is that family supposed to do? Can you imagine somebody going to start a business, rents a warehouse, rents an office complex, and they ask him, Oga, you are the one renting this thing. What are we going to be doing in this place? And he say he doesn't know. He wants to be having sex here. Wouldn't he be a mad person? And this is what many people are doing. If you leave your father and mother and go and start a new family, there must be a picture in your mind where you are taking that family to. In fact, that's why you should go and start the family in the first place. That you have a vision, you have a picture in your mind. That family is like your creation. That family is like something you, because without you, it won't happen. Without me, this King's Lokungo family will not exist. I will just be one boy hanging around somewhere. I'll be Kingsley. I won't be a family. I'll be a person. But the day I chose to leave my father and mother and go and cleave to my wife, then the King's Lokungo family started. We watched the story of Mike Bamiloye today. Amazing man. We salute his grace. Mount Zion film movies. Mount Zion films. Mike Bamiloye. I watch his true story. It's on YouTube, guys. Go and watch it. It's powerful. You know, and the day he met his wife, they said it in the movie, you know, it was a true life story of him, that today, Mount Zion movie starts. He knew what this union was supposed to do. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's what the legacy is. You actually know what we are doing. You are like, you are a creator. You are creating a new dynasty. You are creating a family. You are creating a family. It's like you're creating your own earth. Remember, I told you, you're a mirror of God. So you are creating your own earth. Then your family becomes your world. That your family becomes your own country. That your family becomes your own world. And you are going to create values now that govern this new world. I'm going to get to that. That's what a legacy is. It's not starting a new business. Everybody can start a new business. Everybody can start a new church. In every house, there will be a business. It doesn't work like that. All right? So you are like a God. Or let me say it this way. You are a creator of that family. This King's Lokungo family, I'm the one that created it. I had to leave my existing family. I left my father and my mother to cleave to my wife. And by the way, for those that don't know, that statement itself now means that this your new family has priority over your former family. Because many men, even after they've left their father and mother, in fact, they didn't leave their father and mother, they just go and bring their wife to join. No, you are starting a new family, a new country. That means your wife has more priority now than your father and mother. Because remember, I said you will leave father and mother. They didn't mean you abandon them. They mean you would disconnect. Not disconnect, not the idea. But the idea is that, you know, your priority is different. You will still take care of parents. You still love them. But they are now extended family. They are your ex. They are your ex. Extended. They are your ex now. They are your ex family. You have a new family now that you have to pay attention to. So your wife is priority. People ask me all the time, my wife and mother needs money, who should I give it to? What are you asking? That means you don't understand what that. They say, leave father and mother. This is a new family. That your mother is another family. Many people are allowing their in-laws, their extended family affect their own family. It means you don't have a sense of priority. You don't understand. This is your legacy here. It's important. See, you're not going to run this new family based on what happened in your former country, on your former family, if you don't like it. The only way you continue is if the things there were good. Okay, so that's why God told Abraham. He said, I know my son Abraham. He will teach his children after the ways of God. So how do you leave a legacy? Men, how do I leave a legacy? There are two things. I'll tell you quickly. How do I leave a legacy? Number one, by loving my wife. By loving my wife. I know you're thinking of something, leaving a legacy has to be big. No. The first way you leave a legacy. Let me say it this way. Leaving a legacy simply means leaving a better version of you for us to see. That's legacy. Did you understand that? I'll say it again. When we say leaving a legacy, it's not a business you're leaving. It's a better version of you. Leaving a legacy is leaving a better version of yourself for us to see. Legacy. That's what it means. Leaving a better version of yourself for us to see. All right? Living a better version of yourself for us to see. So it's not about living a business. It's about what you pour into the people you are leaving behind. When they say Jesus left a legacy, he didn't leave a business. Jesus didn't even leave a ministry. He didn't leave a church. There was no Jesus International Ministry office. He didn't have any physical property left. We didn't hear that he left the house. But you see, he left himself inside all of us. And today we are billions of Christians. Do you mean the word Christian? Like Christ. Christians. Christians, does it sound like something to you? Sound like country, Abby? Nigerians, Ghanaians, Christians. Living a legacy is starting another country. It's starting a country of your own. And living a better version of yourself by the time you're living. It's not about material things. It's not about starting a business. Everybody won't start a business. There are many people that have left where they should start to go and start something in the name of living legacy. And they destroy their whole family. They lose their family in the process. It happened to a guy called Lot. So living a legacy is living a better version of yourself. So how do I do that? Like I said, number one, love your wife. Love your wife. The best thing you can do for your kids is to love their mother. Men, the best thing you can do for your wife is to love their mother. I've seen many men think, I love my children, I love my children. If you love your kids, love their mother. That's the best thing you can do for them. Because you are laying a legacy of family to them. See, in my years of counseling, I've discovered that a lot of challenges people face is from the image of marriage they saw. If they saw their father beating their mother, it affects them forever. If they see a divorce, it affects them forever. If they see a home where everything is dysfunctional, I can't give you stories now because they're passed on to people. But I mean, I've seen it back to back being duplicated. A father that beats his mother, beats his wife, the kids copy it. Either the girls see beating as okay, or the boys see beating as okay. A house where there's divorce, you find out that the children too don't see divorce. Divorce is their normal. And some of them grew up lacking that strength and stability that comes from a father or from a mother or from a proper family. The best thing you can do if you want to leave a legacy, love your wife. Be there for her. She's priority, not your parents. Your parents are great. You must take care of your parents. Don't get me wrong. But you need to know that this is now a family. This is a clan. This is a country. This is my own world that I'm creating. My wife is priority. You leave father and mother and cleave. I'm not the one that wrote that. It's there in the Bible. You leave father and mother and cleave to your wife. She's priority. You will love her. You will build her up. Adam's greatest sin was not taking care of his wife. He allowed her to be talking to the serpent. And he allowed her give him advice from the serpent. And they both acted on it. If he was being the man he should be by being a husband, the word husband is from husbandry. It means cultivating your wife. That means the way you took her is not the way you should end. You cultivate her, she should be better. Her gifts will come out. Her potentials will be realized. She'll be a better person. You see, Eve was deceived by serpent because Adam was not talking to her enough. What did the serpent tell her? That you'll be beautiful. I mean, you'll be like God. They were already made in the image of God. If Adam was talking to her, she would have known that. What did the serpent tell her? If you eat it, you'll be smart. You'll know something. This is what Adam should have been telling her, that you are very smart. You cultivate your wife with words. You never use hurtful words. Never use insulting words. How can you tell your wife she's stupid? How can you tell your wife she doesn't have sense? How can you tell your wife she's a witch? Where did you see a witch if you're not a wizard? Is it not in the meeting you must have met her? How can you say that? The best thing to do is to, best, if you want to leave a legacy, love your wife. Sleeping around doesn't make you a man. Doesn't make you strong. Doesn't make you strong. I'll come to those things later. All right? Be an example to your kids. It's the best way to leave a legacy is to give them an example. Love your wife. Wow. Don't break that woman. Build that woman. Why would you ever even need to beat a woman? Get help immediately. If you have ever done that, you need to get help. Why would you do that? Build that woman. Love your wife. Number two, if you want to leave a legacy, intentionally pass values. All right? Leaving a legacy. Number one, love your wife. Number two, intentionally pass values to your kids. Take note of what I'm saying, intentionally. Pass value to your kids. Intentionally pass values. Because I told you, leaving a legacy is leaving a better version of yourself for us to see. So when you leave a legacy, when you are gone, we will still be seeing you. That's what Jesus did. Jesus is gone many years ago. We're still seeing him. When you leave a legacy, you are living a better version of yourself for us to see. Haven't you noticed that some people that even left businesses, because some people don't understand how legacy works. Some people that have left businesses for their children, haven't you seen children drown those businesses? Those stories are everywhere here. They left the business and the children have killed the businesses and sold their room plus the chair, the AC, the window in the office. They've sold, children have sold it. They didn't leave a legacy. They were trying to leave a business for the kids. This is not leaving a legacy for the kids. If you leave a legacy for the kids, they will start more businesses. But if you leave a business for them, they can eat this business up. Those of you in real estate business, at least in Nigeria, the hottest properties are the ones that the father has died. That man was laboring to buy that thing, thinking he was living for children. Children are going to sell it to the one. The man died. The man has never even been buried. And they're already dragging for selling property. Living a legacy is not living a business. Now, sometimes it involves that, but that's not the main thing. It's about living the character. Even some of the world's greatest businesses, they don't pass it to children. Because sometimes your children are not even qualified to take over. Or they're not even interested. Who told you your children will be interested in your business? They might not be interested. They might have their own passion. I don't want to give examples in our country. We have it. They might have their own passion. We've seen great dynasties in something else. And the child goes up to say, I want to be a musician. I want to be a rapper. You know rapper? Some of you don't know rapper. Bitching, I want to go. And the father is a doctor. He's a barber. Living legacy, number one. Loving your wife, number two. Intentionally passing values to your kids. This can be done by chance. This must be done intentionally. Intentionally. So how do I do this? So you will list out intentional values in your country. Remember, you're starting a country one day. List out what will be the values of it. You know, all of us complain about Nigeria. Nigeria's major problem is that we're not intentional about what we want to achieve. If you see America, they have what they call the American dream. America has some things they brag about. Now, even though they might not be great at it in reality, but at least they try to do it. If I mention America, one of the things you notice is that they talk about freedom a lot. Freedom. In fact, their anthem and everything, their slogan, their pledge, one country bound in freedom. This is the land of the brave, land of the free. Is it how they say? The land of the brave. You know what I'm saying? That's an American people say. Home of land of the brave, home of the free, or home of. But you know what I'm saying, Abby? Because it's confusing. So the point is, so you see countries, they have certain things that are their values, and they push it to everybody that comes, that this is important to us. So in your own country, that you're going to start one day, what are the values that you want to start? What are the values? Let me give you some that I like. Number one, a value that says, love God. Love God. That's a good value to build on. Even the United States of America was built on knowledge of God. Their money has in God we trust. They know that. It was founded by people that had a relationship with God. So love God. Love God. Love God. That's a good value to build. That's a value I want to pass to my kids. Because my love life with God, my love relationship with God has helped my life. So I have to show them that, hey guys, in this world, we have to love God. Why? Because God created us. Secondly, God saved us. We'd have all gone to hell. Thirdly, we're going back to meet God. God changes your life. God makes you a better person. A relationship with God will make you a better person. God will hold you by higher standards than any human being can ever hold you. And God will love you more than any human being can ever love you. So that's a good value to pass to your kids. Your relationship with God. Pass it to your kids. That's what God said about Abraham. You will teach your children the ways of God. Pass it to your kids. Pass it to your kids. A life that worships and knows God. It can never be wrong. It's always a good thing to have a good spiritual life. Scientifically, statistically, it's proven that people that have an intimate relationship with God, they live for a higher purpose generally, because they see life beyond this earth. When you don't have a relationship with God, all you see in this life is this earth. You think it's all about here. When you have God, you are a bit more conscious of going to meet him one day. Love God. All right, number two. On that value, you can teach your kids. Love people. I'll just give you these two. You can build around these two. I'll just give you these two so that you, I'll give you at least an idea of what I'm saying. Love people. Depends on that value you can teach your kids. Love people. Or in your new country, you and your wife. You say, hey, we love God. These are our values in this house. Then we love people. We love people. What are some of the things? Somebody said, but how does loving people work? Very simple. For instance, you can start teaching your kids integrity. Integrity. Saying the truth. That in this house, we say the truth. That means, daddy, you too will start by saying the truth. You start by trying to keep your words. If you say, we're going to go out for lunch, we're going to go out and play, try to keep your words. Integrity. Then start showing them that we don't take what belongs to other people. Integrity. The whole Nigeria needs that. We don't take what belongs to other people. But you know, in Nigeria, one of our major issues is that we have some people praising 419 and fraudsters, and people praising prostitutes. It's a big deal because worship money. You just see a guy, he's making money, you know, doing stuff, and everybody's praising him and I'm wondering, is it that all of you don't know that this guy is a fraudster? Or is it that you don't know that there's no direct source of this wealth? But in Nigeria, anywhere in the else in the world, nobody, people can do that. Once you are showing money and IRS can't track it, you'll be invited. But in Nigeria, if you have money, even if you kill people for it, Nigerians will clap for you. No integrity. Just get money anyhow you get it. And sometimes even the parents of these fraudsters can't correct them because no values were passed. The parents of these fraudsters even collect this money to survive. So everybody around them is worshiping them. We're breaking our culture by them. Integrity. These girls are sleeping around and driving cars and no job. And other young girls are admiring them. You see, all these things are coming from dysfunctional families. If you have a good family, you can't grow up admiring such a life. It's when there are no parents or the parents are not functional, then you see a child admiring a drug dealer, admiring a fraudster. And that's what he wants to be. Your child should want to be like you, not be like a fraudster. If you're living a life intentional. Another thing I'm intentional about in terms of passing value children is kindness. Kindness. We don't talk like that. And you'll be showing that kindness at home by how you talk to your spouse, by how you talk to your kids. Kindness. So that one, how we treat people. How we treat strangers, charitable things, giving. Oh, people that I need, let's go and give them. Take your kids together and go and give the people that I need some. Let them see that life is not always like that. They must be grateful. That's gratitude on that one. Gratitude. You teach them to be content with what they have. Teach them that you don't have to get what your neighbor gets. Today, this afternoon, my eldest daughter got a bottle of soft drink, full one. The younger two, the two younger ones had to split the drink or felt they couldn't finish. But my younger daughter said, why does the elder one have a full bottle and she doesn't have? I would say, no, life is not like that. Because life is not always fair. But you must be content with those such things as you have. It's an opportunity for a teaching moment. So you need to know that teaching. One man shared a story I like. He said him and his son, young son, went to a grocery store in America. And there were a lot of guys there on a long queue buying lottery betting. And the clerk, the attendant kept trying to force this man to buy. And this man saw that a teaching moment to teach his son, don't be like these people buying lottery tickets. He told that woman, he said, I don't need to buy lottery tickets because these people think if I have millions, I'll be happier. They don't know that they're not going to be happier. And they'll keep gambling. It's a habit. So teach contentment. Teach them purpose, like contribution. Teach them that contribute to your society is more better than what you get. More better than what you get. Contribute. Then you can also teach your kids the importance of family. Teach them the importance of family. Like I said, most men participate too late in the lives of their family. They want to love their wife too late. They want to be a part of their kids' life too late. See, every part, every time, every phase of your children's lives are actually important. Every phase. From when they are born, you need to be a part of their life. When they are babies, that hugging them and carrying them, changing them is an important phase. Be a part of it. Loving their mother, loving the child. It's your country. You are the president. You are the founder of that country. When they start learning to walk for the first time, be there. When they start, see every stage, because this is our job. We've studied these things. They said every stage is important that you are there. Anytime you're not there, it can affect how that child turns out. In fact, they said just not hugging your child enough as a baby can affect them forever. Every stage is important. This is scientifically proven stuff, so we don't cook these things up. So you must be there, active, an active father. as they are growing, as they are in their early teens years, as they become mature teens, even when they are fully adults, being there and giving them love and support, that unconditional love like the one that God gives. Be a part of. So most men, they hustle for money at their old age. They are not looking for their children. Children are gone. Children don't need them anymore. I heard one story of one man when he was rich and active. He was not involved in the children's life. They would call him and try and reach him. He would just send them money. But one day he called he just want to speak to them, just want to send them money. When he was now old, they were now grown and had their own kids. Nobody was coming to visit him. They were always going to visit their mom. They were always inviting their mom over. Nobody had time for him. And he was very lonely. One day he called one of them. That one said, I can't talk to you. I'll send you money. He was broken. He died a lonely man. Most men learn this thing too late. That's why I'm sharing with you now. Don't wait till the end. If you're going to marry, you marry and you love that woman. It won't come to you naturally because men are very, very work-oriented and logical. So they're not naturally romantic and family-oriented. But you learn it. You learn it because you know it's the major part of life. And if no man has shown you that in your family life, I'm here to tell you that it's a major part of your life, how you treat your wife and your family life. It's going to be the thing among them that will count the most. I tell most men, at the beginning when you were born, it was your family that was there. At the end when you die, it's your family that was there, not your office, not your office staff. It's family that was there at the beginning and at the end. Now there's lockdown globally. All offices are closed. The only thing not closed is family. Family is not closed. So pay attention to it. All right? So leaving a legacy is not about what you had when you were on the earth. It's about what you leave when you are out of the earth. All right? Most men think that their best job is done when they leave the house. They don't know that their most important job is when they are in the house. All right? Most men think when I'm leaving the house, I'm going to my work. No, your work is inside the house. I have to run now, so I can close. Number three, on speaking about the mistakes we are correcting, most men confuse being the head and being heady. You are the head, but you don't have to be heady. You are the head, but you don't have to be heady. All right. Most men struggle with learning. Because we are the head, we think it means we have to figure everything out ourselves. It's an attitude most men have. I mean, men, we hardly want to come for counseling. Men, we hardly want to submit to another person to teach them. Even some men, they don't know the way to where they're going. They won't ask anybody. They want to just drive around in confusion with the whole nation, their whole nation, the country they started, wife and children, and driving around because they don't want to ask somebody. Where do we get this behavior from? You can be the head, but you don't have to be heady. If one of the things that will help you go far in life as a man, that will give you an advantage over other men, is your ability to learn, your ability to humble yourself and learn. I know you are egotistical. You have to put that ego down and learn. You don't have to figure everything out yourself. That's not how you were created. You don't know it all. We all know you don't know it all. You're just pretending to know it all. Nobody knows it all. You can't be good at everything. Other men must teach you some other thing. Somebody else. It might even be a woman. Some men even can't learn under any woman. They can't submit to any woman. It doesn't work like that. That's just your ego running wild. You can be the head, but you don't have to be heady. Listen to your wife. You're married. Your wife has smart ideas on how to run the family, how to run the finances. One of my biggest regrets is not listening to my wife early enough in so many decisions I made before in the past. I mean, I wasted money, wasted time, because I wasn't, in some cases, I didn't listen to her as fast as I should have. So I don't make those kind of mistakes anymore. I don't even try anything until she agrees. I don't try anything until she speaks. Because I was being a man. We're kind of slow in learning, slow in listening. That's why women learn more by listening. Men learn more by experience and observation. So sometimes we would have wasted so many opportunities, wasted so much time. And you don't have to make those same mistakes. That's what I'm trying to correct today. You don't have to make those same mistakes. Oh, I would have been way richer if I was listening to my wife earlier. Way richer. I wasted a lot of money doing man things. Listen, you can be the head without being headed. Be better at learning. Be open. As a man, it's okay to go for counseling. It's okay to go for counseling. It's okay to sit under a therapist. It's okay to sit under a man that can speak into your life. You must have a mentor. In fact, one of these platforms, I'm going to do a full coaching on mentoring. It's a whole thing. You must understand mentoring. All men need coaches. Some of the most successful men in this world have great coaches. A lot of American presidents have consultants that speak to them. A lot of them. All right. All successful men have coaches. So you must be open to learning. Don't be that kind of man that hates counseling. Your wife said, "We need counseling." You say, "No, I don't need." You're struggling in certain areas of life. You don't want to ask other people for help. You are being macho, pretending everything is fine. You are ashamed of asking. You are ashamed of saying, "I don't know." That's not what it means to be the head. You are just being heady. You are being slow to learn. Some of the best people in this world have coaches. Lionel Messi, Cristiano Ronaldo, best footballers, they have coaches. Roger Federer, Rafa Nadal, they have coaches. Oh, most of the people we admire have coaches. I have a coach. I've had a coach for years. For 22 or 23 years, I can't remember now. I've had a pastor and a coach that speaks over my life. In fact, when I was getting married to my wife, that's the first thing I did. I showed all my mentors. And I told her, feel free to report me to any of these guys anytime you like. Being a man doesn't mean you can't submit to other men to mentor you. You need it. If your greatness depends on it, that you have other men that can see other aspects of your life that you can see. Nobody can see 360 view of their own lives. Focus creates blindness. If you're a banker, then if you're going to be a great banker, you have to be focused on banking. What that means is that you will have blindness in other areas that are important in your life. So a coach will come and tell you, hey, you need to spend more time with your family. You might not see that. That's why I'm here. A coach will tell you, hey, you just spend some time on your health. Maybe your health coach, your fitness coach. We say you need to put some exercise in there. Because your greatness in your own field demands focus. But you need a coach. Somebody else looking at other aspects of your life that you can't see to tell you, hey, your health, you're not considering it. Because some things are not urgent, but they are important. Doing exercise doesn't appear urgent, but one day, it should become urgent. And by then, it might be late for many people. Because you've not been eating right. You've been eating junk for many years. The day the payday comes, you just eating salad one day can't change it. Eating fruit one week can't turn it around because this is a habit and a sickness you built for years. So you need coaches. It helps you be more effective. Everybody knows that. It doesn't mean you are weak. It doesn't mean you are weak. The last one, or the second to the last one, I'm about to round up. I'm just trying to summarize them. So get coaches, guys. Get coaching. Read books. Learn from other great people. The next one, number four. We need to focus on patterns and not on people. Focusing on patterns, not people. In fact, let me say it this way. We need to start blaming patterns and not people. All right? You know, many times, my mentor, Reverend Abbott Oduwole, said something. He said he would tell his sons, you know, that life is not always fair, but God is fair. That you will always see people that look like they are prospering more than you, or people that look advantage more than you. That life might not be fair, but God is fair. And that, you know, you can't blame people. And that's very powerful advice. Do you know your life is determined more by your patterns than by people? You know, most I want to blame people. See, Nigeria is the reason why I'm here. Because there are no jobs in Nigeria. It's because the government didn't provide. You know, we are blaming people. Or my boss didn't promote me. They fired me. They gave somebody else my due position. I'm the one that should take over. I should have married that girl. I should have that. They don't blame people. Blame pattern. If you are up to 30 years here watching me, by now you should have identified specific patterns in your life. Now, if you're observant, you can identify it earlier. But I'm just saying, let's imagine you're not very observant. At least by 30 or late 20s, you should have identified patterns in your life. There are patterns in our lives. And those patterns are so powerful. They are more powerful than people. This means if you're in America or in Africa, anywhere you are, it doesn't matter. Or if people hate you or they love you, it doesn't matter. The patterns are more powerful. The patterns are a kind of behavior you are going around with every time. And it's affecting you more than you know. There are patterns in everybody's lives. You need to find it. Is it that you are lazy? That might be your pattern. You're just lazy. That you always know what to do, but you're lazy. I met somebody that said he discovered, somebody I spoke to one time, he should be even watching now. He said that he discovered that every 2 years, you know, he gets a major promotion or, you know, a major lift in his life. That's a pattern. There are patterns in your life. Some is every 5 years, it notices a shift. Some is every time that if something wants to shift their life, God brings somebody into their life. Some is that if something bad wants to happen to, God brings something like some is that whenever there's a breakthrough coming, a big thing coming, there's a great temptation that comes with it. There are patterns like that just happen. We can't explain it, but it always happens. And you need to identify the patterns in your own life. Some is that they don't finish. They don't finish well. They are the champion dropout. They are the founder of Quitters Club. They quit high school, quit secondary school, quit primary school, quit debate club, quit church, quit anything they start, they never finish. If that's their pattern, they need to quickly find solutions to that, or else they will never finish well in this life. Those are patterns. Everybody has said, I have some patterns. And you see, and the key is that when you find these patterns, you must be ready to find solutions. You must be ready to open up to people that can help you break the patterns. There are patterns in your life. Some of them are causing you to fail. There are some people, and you know, there are some people around you that might even be so observant to notice those patterns. There are some people I know that the reason why they are not successful, I can tell them, but part of their patterns is that they don't listen. It's part of their pattern. So I'll just be watching the movie. They don't listen. They are incredibly gifted. I know many people like that. Gifted, more gifted than some people I've ever met in my life. So you're wondering why somebody that is very little gifted person, but is very successful, somebody that is heavily gifted, not doing anything major. Part of it is that the pattern of not listening. Maybe they are those kind of people that they won't do something until they are convinced. And life is not like that. Sometimes you need somebody else to tell you, this is, just go. Just go. Just go. Somebody will push you. Some major things I've done, somebody pushed me. So you know, there are many patterns in your life. I can't waste time into it. You need to know what the patterns are in your life. Some of it is your passion. For instance, a lot of times I do things is I follow my passion. Once I'm bothered about something, I can tell this is something I should do. Patterns. You know, somebody like me, one of my patterns is that I don't hustle for things. Once I'm struggling to get something, I leave it. Because the best things I've gotten, I didn't struggle for it. So I don't start to struggle now. When I've discovered there's a pattern of how I get things. No, there's some other people that every good thing they've gotten, they fought till the last day. So they know that fighting is part of their own life. Me, that's not what works for me. Once I'm hustling, I leave it. It can be. Because when it's mine, I usually can see it clearly. And the few times I've gone against those patterns, I've regretted it. So you need to know the pattern. What are the patterns in your own life? Write them down if you need to. And look for people that you can open up with. Because men hate to talk about their weaknesses. Men only like to talk about their strength. It's an annoying thing with men. Men among they have big problem. They'll say, you know, 1980, I made it big. Now we were the big boys in 1980. My brother, you are broke now. Can we talk about your brokenness? Can we talk about your brokenness now? Not 1980. Men hate to talk about their weakness. You are out of work. You can't tell guys, hey, man, what can I do? You say, you're wearing tie and posing like you have a job. They say, how are you? They say, fine. But you know you're not fine. Because you can't humble yourself to say, hey, something's wrong somewhere. And the patterns don't lie. The patterns don't lie. They are just there. Because they are there with you all the time. You can't beat them except you open up to some people and let them help you. You must first acknowledge that this is a problem. This is a problem. Patterns. A mentor can help you see it. I think I'm going to do a full session on mentoring one of these days, all right? So because we hate openness, we don't like to talk. You know, some people, their own pattern is financial patterns. They will never have money. They will spend. So they can't sustain wealth. Some people's own, I'm going to whisper this one now. Some people's own is sexual passion. I mean, sexual pattern, sorry. Women has been their biggest problem in this life. That's the only problem they have. Women just kill them anytime they want to rise. Sexual patterns. Sexual patterns. And you know how the thing goes. Once a big opportunity is about to open, a woman comes, you get involved, you lose your steam and momentum for the vision. You know, the patterns are just there. Patterns are there. You need to be able to open and tell somebody, like, look, I have an issue with sex. Sleeping around doesn't make you a man, doesn't make you macho. And most men, listen, the reason why we don't like to open up is that we feel that people will judge us a lot. Look, that's why you need some men in your life that you can trust, that you can look up to, that will love your condition, like your mentors or pastors or coaches or whatever. They understand. And you see, and most challenges men are facing, other men are facing it. You are never alone. So the reason why you don't want to open up is that you think you're alone. No, you're not alone. Many of us are facing the same thing, and we can tell you how we overcame it if you can be open. But you don't want to be, because you think you're all alone. Most people want to share only their testimonies. They want to share only their successes. Listen, I'd rather pay more attention to the things that can make you fail than the things that can make you succeed, because you are more likely to succeed by yourself. But that thing that wants to pull you down, I'm bothered about it, because it's easy to rise. It's more difficult to stay up there. So you see, all our young guys that are maybe big music stars or whatever, they have children everywhere outside the world. Nobody can handle them. Nobody can mentor them, because they are good with their craft. What they are not good at is with their weaknesses. So everybody celebrates their gift. A coach and a mentor is not your cheerleader. So he doesn't care about what you are doing well. He's concerned about what you're not doing well. The thing that can destroy your life. Oh, there's so many things we can talk about now. So having that sexual weakness is such a big deal for men, because men, one of the things you learn, and nobody talks to us about these things. As a man, managing your sexuality is such a big deal. Because for women, it's different. And some people try to confuse this issue and say men and women have the same sexual behavior. We don't. For most women, sex is tied to their emotions. In other words, they have to be emotionally involved to have sex. So this means they have to like the person. They have to be involved with the person emotionally first before they give the person their body. All right? Any girl you see just giving her body without emotions, go and check. Either she was heavily abused or something. Something has happened that has, you know, that's tampered with her natural inclination. Go and check it out. Like I said, that would have worked with prostitutes. Most of them have been abused. Go and check it. For a normal girl, that good family, good at everything, and is sleeping around, there was either poverty, you know, there's a strong link of poverty, they want to just make money, you know. But normal girl, just growing up, she just want to just sleep around with everybody. She first wants to, you know, have a good relationship with the person. So, but for men, it's very different. Men's emotions don't necessarily follow them sexually. So a man can desire to have sex with many people without even talking to them. And that's why prostitution itself sells, because men can be sleeping around without knowing. I don't have to know yourself to enjoy sex. I don't have to know if I didn't even know you. So because of that, men need to manage their sexuality, because they are more prone to messing up sexually. So many marriages have crashed on this altar. And the women don't understand. They say, why can't men just sit down in one place? Because they're dealing with a different level of emotion. Even the hormones flowing in men is testosterone. Is more aggressive sexually than that of a woman. The hormones are different. Science stuff. So this is clear. So a man is ready for sex every day of the month. The woman is not like that. So, you know, to manage that sexuality. The Bible said a man without control is like a city broken down without walls. So sleeping around doesn't make you a man. It doesn't make you strong. It actually makes you weak. You become like a weak link. Because all the devil needs to do is to send a woman. You know, all the devil needs to do, you know, is to send a woman. Very important. You know? So, lastly, number five, and it's from where we're coming to. How do I, you know, manage my journey as a man? I'll tell you for free that you need God. You need God. You know, we need God. Because the mantle upon us is much. The journey as a man is much. You need God. I said I'll give you my story. You know, I'm about to close, so let me do that. So I grew up like a normal boy, but I was a bad boy. I was like normal boys. I wanted to be bad. I wanted to impress my friends. I wanted to be among the well-recognized guys in town. So, of course, I was into the money thing also, stealing from my parents. I stole so much from my parents. I was good. I was good. I was a stealer. I know that's not English, but it's the best way to say it. I was a stealer and a liar. I was just like every other boy. I mean, I stole so my dad would hide his money in the house. I would get to that house no matter where he hides it. Because it became a game between me and him. It became a game. He was trying to outsmart me hiding. But I was a natural criminal. So I would get home and I'd find the money. In fact, I had cousins that were staying in our house. Then when I go to school or go somewhere, I'll go to whatever, I come back, I ask them if their money is out. They say, no money. That day has hidden all the money. I'll say, give me 1 minute. I'll enter his room and come out with money. Like, what did you see? I said, one time, my father hid money so much that he hid the money in the bag, in a small black bag, hid the bag. The bag had key, locked the bag, and hid the key of the back, all different places. Then now lock the room and hit the key of the room. When I got there, I found the key of the room, found the bag, found the key of the bag, and still took his money. He now went somewhere to buy something and noticed the money wasn't complete. And he came back and he looked at me. He said, "You are smart." He said, "I'm going to send you abroad." Real life story. He said, "I'm going to send you abroad. That if you are this smart, you should go abroad. You'll make it." That's my dad. He acknowledged my stealing ministry. My stealing ministry. One day, my dad came back from work, went to the bathroom to have his bath. I knew of my slight opportunity to run into his room and steal. Normally, when my dad is back like that from work and is having his bath, my mom is downstairs cooking. I ran into their room because my dad was in the bathroom to go and steal from my dad's pocket. I was so focused on the stealing that I didn't know my mom was on the bed. Boom! Enter with speed because I have just split moment. Put my hand in the suit pocket. I just said, "What are you doing?" Stealing is a useless occupation. For those of you that are tips here, you need to change. "What are you doing?" I had a split second to come up with a story. I said, "You know that I'm about to go to school," and I gave Popsy a list, of what I did in school. But I remember I didn't add something, so I don't really add it before it came out. Even when I told the lie, my spirit came out from outside me and looked at me and said, "Ah." My spirit came out and clapped for me. "Now you did try." I can give you stories upon stories. So I grew up like that with the criminality mindset. Money, you know, because this is how young men think. Money, money, money. And why do you want the money? Money to go and drink beer. Money to go and post for other guys that you have money. I was smoking weed at home. Those days when I was young. Nowadays, young people smoke weed everywhere. I laugh because now they can buy weed anywhere. They can even deliver weed to you now. Those days, for you to smoke weed, where they sell the weed, that time you have to be a criminal to go there. My own time, this was 30 something years ago. For where we go to buy weed, you must be a criminal because they even raid those places. Police raid those places every day. So, and even if the police doesn't raid it, even the people selling that area, people that are trying to buy weed that can't afford it, they are robbing people to buy weed. So you can't walk normal. There's a way we walk, and we change our world. You must look like a criminal to go and buy food. I was smoking weed. I was carrying a pistol from secondary school as a teenager. I had a pistol. I never forget the silver automatic pistol. Beautiful gun. Those of you that think I'm a pastor, I'm still changing. I'm not fully changed, so better not try me. I still have the gun. So I'm joking. I don't have a gun. You know, but I used to have a gun then. Silver pistol. Automatic. That was the first time I've seen automatic weapons. Those days, automatic weapons were not common. There was revolvers that were common. I don't know if you know. I'm boring you, Abby. But I had automatic pistol. I mean, I was looking for who to kill. That's how it was. Oh, prostitution. Oh, we're visiting prostitutes every day. Let me not bore you with bad boy story. Those things are not important. I'm not trying to inspire you to go and do stupid things. But the point, I'm just trying to tell you that, you know, I came from that background too. I came from that background. You see, what changed my life was men, other men. And that's why we're doing this kind of platform. I had an elder brother that is a major general in the army today. He was born again and he began to pray for me. And I got saved. I went to live with him and I got saved. You know, and men like that inspired me. Another man also inspired me to be the best version of myself. And that's why I'm here today inspiring you too. And the whole thing started from meeting God and knowing God. If you're looking at me today, if you're watching today and you are not yet a Christian or you're not a serious Christian, I would like to pray with you today. Because it has changed my life. There's no need for me to teach you all these principles without telling you where the principles came from. It has changed my life. Before now, I wanted to steal people's money. Now I give money. Before now, I wanted to kill people. Now I save people. God has changed my life completely. There was no way I would have had a good marriage without God. No way. Nothing in me it wants to have a good marriage, if not for God. There's no way I would have been a good father. No way. God. So can I pray with you before I take the other announcements and the other things I need to say today? Can I pray with you if you're watching me today and you're not born again or you don't have a committed relationship with Jesus Christ? Can I have the honor of leading you to Jesus Christ? Real men worship Jesus. Jesus is the strongest man ever. He died for the sins of other people. He knew what he was doing. He did not that they falsely accused him, because he couldn't defend himself. He wanted to be falsely accused so that we can be set free. That's the bravest man I know. That's the best man I know. I didn't even know him or love him. He just loved me. And that is how to be a man. So if you are here and you are watching, I don't know what your age is, you might be young, you might be old, but you don't have a living relationship with Christ, can I have the honor of leading you to Jesus? So wherever you are, can you just close your eyes and say this prayer after me? Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me my sin. Wash me with your blood. I receive the grace to serve you all the days of my life. Make me a better man. Make me a man like you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. If you prayed this prayer with me today, it means you have given your life to Christ, you're born again. Please send us a message. Let us know you gave your life to Christ. We'll reach out to you and help you. All right. I also have a few announcements I need to make. Number one is that if you're wherever you're watching from, we actually want to be doing things like this more and more and more. And if for any reason you feel led to contribute to what we're doing, to make donations to what we're doing, we want to have this particular kind of meetings for free, continuously. You know, so if for any reason you feel a need to contribute, to be a part of it, to send us some kind of support, please go ahead and do so. All right, reach out to our people, find out how you can. Even if you're out of the country, you can use PayPal and other things. But we need to do this together. All right, we need to do this together. So this is one of the things you contribute from. Remember, life is about contribution. So if you feel that need, you might even be male or female watching, and you feel the need to say, "Hey, Pastor, I believe I need to support what you do." We have a whole team of people working. That's how this gets done. All right, so. We want to focus on this. So if you have a feeling in your heart that you want to support, you want to make a donation of any amount, you know, depends on who you are, you know, and what you want to do. So please reach out to us. We'll let you know how you can do that. Number, that's the first thing. Second thing is that we have loads of materials for men. I've told you, men, you'll be better if another man can inspire you. You'll be better. Don't assume you know it all. No. I know what you know is working for you already, but trust me, you'll do better if you know more. If you know what another man knows to add to what you know, you will do better. So we have loads of great materials I want to recommend. There's one titled Seven Things Men Should Provide. If you're a man, whether you're married or single, this will help you. It's a training course I did sometime ago, and it's still available for anybody who wants to take the course. Seven Things Men Should Provide. Because we've been taught that it's only money that men should provide, but there are six other things men should provide, you know, in their lives as men. You know, so I taught that course. You need to attend it, because many men, they just think, as long as I'm providing money, I'm doing what I should do. That's what I'm saying. You've been lied to. There are six other things you should provide. All right, get that course available on our website, lovesitandmarriage.org. We have a book titled Seven Qualities Wise Men Want. Many men don't know what to look out for in your wife. I'm telling you, who you marry is going to impact you. So Seven Qualities Wise Men Should Want, please make sure you also get it. There's also a book titled A to Z of Marriage. I taught there how men, the things that women like, in alphabetical order. So both men and women. So if a woman, so you can buy, a couple you can buy. A to Z of Marriage, one of our best-selling books. Then have the All Year Round for Men. So in that book, I was coaching men for 52 weeks with 52 points. 1 point a week on how to love their wives, all right, coaching. So you don't have to figure it all out. I've already done it for you. And the good thing about it All Year Round is that every week I'll be sending you a mail to remind you of what action is for what week. So that way, you look like a very romantic guy. Your wife will not be the one coaching you. So it's All Year Round for Men. My wife too has All Year Round for Women. So your wife too should get that. It's a good gift pack to buy. Then I have one message titled Seven Reasons Why Great Men Don't Last. And why, how do you say it? Seven Reasons Why... Remain small. Okay, yes. It's titled Seven Reasons Why Great Men Don't Last and Why Small Men Remain Never Are Never Great. Something like that. So it's just basically number seven tests that all men face. Seven men are tested seven times. The seven tests all men face. So that book is also available. Our website is ldmwithpk.org. All our materials are there. If you're abroad, our books are on Amazon also. They're on Amazon and Okada Books. And if for any reason you need assistance, send us an email or reach out to my Instagram handle, ldmwithpk. That's our official LDM handle. Ministry handle, right? Or my personal page at Kingsley Pastor. If you don't follow me, please follow me. If you have not subscribed to my YouTube channel, please subscribe. It's important you subscribe so that you'll be getting notifications of what's going on. And, you know, like the videos, write good comments, you know, like the videos. It helps viewership, all right? So shows that you're enjoying it. And watch adverts too while you're there. Watch the adverts on my page if the adverts are showing. You know. I'll take a few questions before we pray and close. You know, we can't take so many questions, so maybe like 5 questions before we pray and close. Recommend this video for people to watch. It's on YouTube. It's on YouTube after now. So recommend this video for people to watch another. So let me take 5 questions before we go.
Why is it that women find it hard to get a mentor?
Yes, the question is why do women find it hard to get a mentor? It's what I said, men can be heady. They don't like to learn. They don't like to be humble. They don't like to serve. It's something men struggle with because they come with that mentality and the way we're created to be leaders. So we tend to think that means we can't serve. But great leaders serve. Jesus was the leader, best leader of all. And he said, he that must be head among you, let him serve. He that must lead among you, let him serve. So leadership is service. And Jesus, as great as he was, he went to the temple to learn from teachers of the law. So you just need to train yourself. And the moment you train yourself, start learning, by the time you start benefiting so much from learning, you will start to like learning. I did a seminar sometime outside the country. A man and his wife came for the seminar, relationship seminar. And he said, before he came, I was thinking, what are they going to teach me again? Because men have that attitude. What's another man going to tell me? What can this person tell me? Look, there are loads of things you don't know. You're not yet the greatest man in the world now. So there are loads of things you don't know. And it's by adding from different men that you become better. So after the conference, the guy came to me and said, he didn't want to come before. He felt, what can I teach him about that? After the seminar, he has learned so much. I can't believe what he has learned. I won't miss the next one. So you understand? So most times, because you have not yet engaged your mind, you just think, oh, I know everything. Until you hear that other people are doing great things, other people who inspire you, or even great men are inspired by other great men. That's how it works. So you can never know it all. So just train yourself and stop being, you know, unteachable, and you'll be awesome. All right? Those that are still asking about our website address, ldmwithpk.org. All right? Don't forget. Second question.
Should no source of income be a deal breaker in a relationship?
Should no source of income. Now, I'm assuming it's a woman asking that, and I wonder what you're doing. It's a man. Like, if a woman doesn't have a source of income, or if you don't have a source of income, that'd be a deal breaker. Let me say it this way. You need to find a source of income before you marry. However, you can have friends. You understand it. Sometimes, you know, you. That woman will inspire you to go and do something. But I'm not saying you can't marry without having some income, because you have to provide for your home. All right? It's part of what you're going to do. So go and find something to do. All right? But women can actually inspire you sometimes if you find the right kind of woman. All right? But you can't marry. I don't support you marry without having a job. All right? A source of income. Yeah.
If you hear a prophecy about where you'll meet your wife and her ethnicity, should you pay attention to it?
Okay. If you have a prophecy about where you're going to meet your wife and their tribe, no, don't pay attention to that. God doesn't lead us like that. I wonder why are you where you are hearing prophecies like that? Prophecy, the real Bible prophecy doesn't give us direction. Real Bible prophecy gives us edification, comfort, and things like that, not direction. And the worst that can happen when there's what something called the word of knowledge is that it can confirm to you something God is already telling you. So a prophet does not lead us. As Christians, in the New Testament, we are led by the Holy Spirit, not by prophets. It says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So your whole premise is wrong. If you're a person asking that question about prophecy, please, I have a message titled, The Place of Prophecy in Marriage. You need to get it. It's on our website. The Place of Prophecy in Marriage. I dealt with those things because somebody gave me my wife prophecy too, and we're dating. You need to hear all the stories there. All right? So please get the message. You understand it.
In a marriage, is a woman that is more concerned about her purpose than her husband dangerous?
Yes, it's not dangerous. Sometimes the woman is the one that has the purpose that would help the family. That happens. So the man is just supposed to help her be the best cultivator. So that's not a problem. You know, there are many big people that we know that the woman is the engine room, all right, and the man is the supporter. So that's fine. There's no problem. As long as the family has something they are putting their effort into to achieve, that's okay. Yeah.
Question from YouTube. Do you listen to all women or just wise women?
Of course, I think the person asking, do I listen to all women or just wise women? Of course, you have to listen to wise women. You can't listen to... Now, it depends on what you mean. For instance, if you work in an office and a woman is your boss, then you have to listen to her. If you work in an office and a woman is your colleague, you have to listen to her. So it's about what is being said and the situation you are in. So, but of course, it doesn't mean that anybody you meet on the road that is giving you advice, you have to take it. It doesn't mean so. Whether men or women, it must be wise. What they are listening to must make sense. That's what I'm saying. So it doesn't matter whether it's man or woman. Is what they're telling you, is it wise? All right?
Okay. On the society notion about being a man, I have come across many guys who think that an average young man must do at least one of the following: womanizing, alcoholism, smoking. Please, is something wrong with a guy who doesn't engage in these acts?
I've thought that all through today, that all those guys are living by society pressure and trying to outdo each other. Most men that are drinking and smoking is because friends. They want to show their friends they're cool. So definitely you don't have to drink. All those things are substance abuse. So I don't even support you to drink, smoke, or womanize. Definitely, definitely. Those things will destroy you faster than you can imagine, all right?
Mm. I was unfaithful to my wife last year, and I opened up to her. But for the last 6 months, it's been a roller coaster. I know I have hurt her, but we seem to keep going around the same circle. I look to rebuild what we have, but it seems difficult to move on. What do I do?
Oh, good question. You guys need what they call infidelity recovery counseling. The issue that most people don't know, that counseling for infidelity is different from just normal marriage counseling. So if there's infidelity counseling, there are stages. The reason why you're going around in circles is because she can't process her emotions. You too can't process what's going on. There are stages in infidelity, you know, a situation. So there's a counseling called infidelity counseling. And interestingly, we do that. Part of our love and marriage does that. It's different from normal marriage counseling. So we do that. There are about 6 or 7 stages you have to go through to get out of it, or else you guys will be going around in circles. So try and get your wife. You guys should schedule infidelity counseling with us or with any other good professional, you know, and they'll help you. There's infidelity counseling. It's different from normal counseling. That's why. So do counseling. It will help. Do counseling. Okay.
Someone here says, it's a fact that most men have no voice without money. Most ladies now don't even want to grow a home with a young man, again, because of money. Sir, in this instance, how do we balance needs, necessity, love, and family when it seems money answers all?
Okay. Good question. That is a wrong notion. All right. There are many people, yes, that like money, but the truth is that there are still a lot of people that understand what real value is. It's not all about money. All right. It's not all about money. Sorry if. we're changing over our source of power supply, right? So it's not all about money. There are many people that understand the place of real value and real substance. So money is not everything. Don't let anybody put you under pressure. When I married my wife, I didn't have money. I wasn't rich. I had a job. I had a purpose. Don't get me wrong, but I wasn't rich. So you don't need to be rich or have a lot of money. You just need to marry the right person and know what you're doing. At the long run, living right and living with purpose will still bring you money. But your priority must be right, you know, or else, you know, it will be an issue. All right?
How does one seek out a mentor?
Okay, how do you seek out a mentor? I'm going to do a full session on that. But the main thing is that picking a mentor is like picking a wife. You need to know what you're looking for. And let God also lead you prayerfully. It's like picking a wife, because it's a very important relationship in your life. It's not everybody that can mentor you. So decide which area you need mentoring. Is it business, is it family, is it general? You know, is it in a particular industry? Find that area, then start learning from the person, then make contact with the person. But I'll do a full seminar on it, because it's a very broad topic. All right? 2 more questions for close. Did you have more than?
How can we deal with our ego as men, and how can we also submit to women, or more so our wives?
Okay. You deal with your ego by just dealing with it. The mistake many men make is that they never pay attention to their emotions. They think that their emotions are out of control, that this is just me. No, you can control how you feel and what you do. So don't think it is just me. There's no such thing. So control your emotions by being humble and have a listening ear. You know, when I mean submit to your wife, I mean, you're listening to her. You're also taking her opinions. Sometimes you even allow her lead in some certain things. If she's better with you in money, you know, she's better to run the money. So it's just as simple. You just do it. There's no special thing. You take charge of your emotions and you do it. That's all.
The last one.
Last one, guys.
We are expected to obey our parents in scriptures. Should that also play out in who I marry? Like, are they supposed to define my requirements?
Okay, good question. Should I always obey my parents? You need to understand that there are two ways that works. When they say obey your parents, they're talking to kids largely. What the Bible says to do is to honor your parents. So there's a difference. You can honor somebody without having to obey them. All right? In scriptures, where they said specifically obey, they were talking to children under age. So like my own children now, or children that are 10, 12, 15, they're still under their parents' authority. Yes, they need to obey their parents. But once you're an adult, all right, you are not children. It's not you they're talking about. As an adult, you ought to honor your parents. Honor, you know, not necessarily obey. For instance, if your parents say go and commit suicide or go and do ritual, you don't have to obey them, but you don't have to be disrespectful. All right. When God told me to go into ministry, you know, I told my parents, they didn't like the idea. So, but I didn't obey them. I obeyed God. You know, I honored them. I wasn't disrespectful. Now later they came to be happy that I obeyed God. So they're even more excited now for me than I was then. So obedience and honor are two different things. So you don't have to obey your parents. They're not the ones that will choose who you marry. Like I said, you're an adult. The principles that you believe, father and mother, then cleave. Not that you will be father and mother and try to cleave. That's what many people do. Leave means you are able to live and survive on your own without your parents' advice or financial support. Then that was qualifies to start on that country, on that nation. All right. So you can ask their advice, but you don't have to take their advice as regards who to marry. That's not their job. It's you. They are the one that's going to live with your husband or wife. So you need to do the choosing. All right. I hope this has been worth it for you. Please share this video, subscribe to our YouTube channel, you know, like the post. Visit our website for materials. I listed some materials already today. Visit the website. Then we do counseling services. If you need counseling, either video call, audio call, and all that, take advantage of it on our website or reach our official page. Our website is www.ldmwithpk.org. All right? So thank you. I hope this was worth it. So let me know. Let me get your feedback. All right? Thank you. Good night now. Good night. You know.